All right. I hope you're more happy to stay in here than Aurora was to go back there. Okay? The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32. If you remember last week, we looked at replacing anger with a kindness. In verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Now, I don't know if you've thought of it much, but sin is doing anything against the nature of God. You'll see in the Bible that we are to love because He loves. We're told in the Scripture to be holy. Why? Because He is holy. We're told to be merciful because He is merciful. Lying goes against God's nature of truth. Stealing goes against God's nature of giving. Adultery goes against God's nature of faithfulness. And we are to, according to verse 32, we are to forgive because it is God's nature to forgive. Now, I wanted to deal very thoroughly as I could on the subject of forgiveness. This is why we pulled that theme out of verse 32 from this passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, because this is something that we need to have a good understanding about. And this morning I want to, in studying forgiveness, to look at four things concerning forgiveness. We're going to see, first of all, the meaning of forgiveness. Secondly, we're going to see the ministry of forgiveness. Thirdly, we're going to see the motive for forgiveness. And if I have time, I would like to deal with the mastery over forgiveness. And so, I want us to see here in verse 42, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So I'm preaching a message on forgiving since God forgives. So let's look at the meaning of forgiveness. And you may think you understand what it means to be forgiven, but let me tell you, psychology has really destroyed this word. And we have to understand what forgiveness is. Now, there's three words in the New Testament that I saw that deal with forgiveness. The most common word is aphinemi, is how you pronounce it, I think. And it's mentioned 146 times in the New Testament. And 46 times it is translated in our King James Bible, forgiveness, or to forgive. And the word means to send away. So if you can imagine that. And the idea is that when a person is forgiven, sin is taken away. So when God forgives us, sin is taken away. When we forgive others, sin is taken away. The second word I want you to see is the word apaluo. And that word is mentioned 69 times in the New Testament, but only twice in the New Testament is it translated forgiveness. It is the word which means to set free. And you'll see it, actually it's a word that is translated to put away. So it speaks of divorce. Or to put away something. And the idea is to release. And the understanding of forgiveness there is that sin is not something that we would hold against the offender. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 translates it. The only time it's translated forgiveness, judge not that ye shall not be judged, condemn not and ye shall not be condemned, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. So if you release people from their sin, you will have your sins released, is the idea. And that you shall be forgiven. Now the word that is used here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it's a word which, and I'm going to use the word, and I'm not just trying to press you with the words of understanding the Greek words, but it's the word we get the word charis. Charis is a grace, and the word that is translated forgiven here is charizomai. And it's translated 23 times in our New Testament, and 11 times it is translated forgive. And it means to give, or it means to graciously grant something to somebody else. And what you'll see is that it means to graciously grant forgiveness to somebody. And that word includes forgiveness. So, in order to understand this idea of forgiveness, let me first of all tell you what forgiveness is not. And I have 7 points I want to point out here. Forgiveness is not the same as forbearance. Now, forbearance, when we see that in the New Testament, has the idea of being patient with somebody who's hurt you. And when somebody has done you wrong, you might, for whatever reason, just kind of put up with it. But that doesn't mean you've forgiven them. And you may have, for whatever reason, chosen to not respond in a negative way. So just because you're not mean to somebody doesn't mean you're forgiving them. Secondly, forgiveness is also not forgetting. God, when He forgives our sins, now we are told in the Scripture that He forgives our sins, and as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed His sins from us. But God does not suffer from amnesia. He remembers very clearly. And we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, however, that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So when you forgive someone, when it says that God forgets, it's not saying that God just kind of lost His memory. It means that God is not holding that against you. Now, understand that. And the Bible makes it very clear that, for instance, when David committed adultery, or when Abraham lied, the fact that God put it in His Bible shows you He didn't forget about it. Number 3, forgiveness is not an elimination of consequences. Forgiveness is not the elimination of consequences. And even when we are forgiven by Christ, we may still suffer certain consequences. And that's why, for instance, in the Scripture that David, when he committed sin with Bathsheba, we're told that Nathan said, God has forgiven you of your sin, but there was the consequence that was going to have an impact on his family. So someone murders your child. And someone said, well, you ought to forgive that person. Well, you ought to not hold bitterness in your heart, but that person still must go to trial. And that person must have to deal with the consequences of that murder. So, forgiveness is not an elimination of consequences. Number four, forgiveness is not a feeling. The fact is, it's a commitment to pardon the offender, whether you feel like it or not. And many times, feelings may accompany forgiveness, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, well, because I feel warm and fuzzy about this person, I can forgive them. If I don't, I can't forgive them. That's not what forgiveness is. Number five, and I want you to see that forgiveness is not the automatic restoration of trust. So sometimes we get the idea, well, if I've forgiven you, I should start trusting you again. Well, no. An abusive spouse doesn't need to, once that other spouse forgives them, doesn't necessarily mean that they can trust that person. And it's important to understand that rebuilding trust is usually going to be a process. So you say, I've done wrong. Forgive me. I forgive you. Now you've got to automatically trust me? No, I'm going to watch to see if you meant what you said. And we have good reason to sometimes distrust a person's consistency, and they may have been sincere. But forgiveness is not an automatic restoration of trust. So someone abuses their spouse, and so you say, I forgive them. That doesn't necessarily mean you better get back together right away, because they could still hurt you. Number six, forgiveness is not private. It involves two people or two persons. And it's a transaction that is between people. Now, it is true that you have to deal with your own bitterness and your anger and those kind of things. So somebody has abused you, for instance, and they died. Well, you're not going to be able to get any kind of repentance from them, but you do need to learn to ask God to help you and forgive you for any bitterness in your heart. But forgiveness is a two-way transaction. Okay, so I might say, God, forgive me because I'm having a hard time in bitterness. Forgive me for that sin. But that does not mean that there has been a reconciliation with that individual. Now, I'm saying some things that's for your further study. And then, finally, let me mention that forgiveness offered, or a willingness to forgive, put it that way, is not the same as forgiveness. So in other words, I may have a position that says, I am wanting you to repent, and I want you to deal with your sin, and I'm ready to forgive you the moment you do that. But unless you do that, I'm only willing to forgive. But forgiveness doesn't take place until there is such a thing as repentance and confession. So we must be willing to forgive. In the popular thinking that as long as a person is granting forgiveness, he's already forgiven. No, there's got to be a reconciliation. So, we're told that when Jesus was on the cross, what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Does that mean that everybody there at the cross was forgiven? He was willing to forgive them, but they had to repent and deal with their sin in order to have forgiveness. Even Stephen, when he was martyred in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, he says, lay not this sin to their charge. And yet, what that didn't mean that everybody there was now right with God. He was willing to do it, but until somebody truly, genuinely receives and confesses their wrong, there is not going to be forgiveness. So, we're talking about the meaning of forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness, as one writer put it, is a commitment, if it has to do with God, it's a commitment by God to pardon graciously those who repent and believe, so that they are reconciled to Him, although this commitment does not eliminate all consequences. Now, how does that come into place with others? A commitment offered to another, forgiveness, gracious, repentance, a Bible, to pull away from the book, 7, Jesus, and God, mercy. And we knew that at these house brought an ex of ointment behind being in his was offered for her sin. Richard tells her hate of Jesus, verse 39. Now saying, this man be a prophet, manner of woman, for she is a man to die, and to give you the was on. He knew. So he now straight, carry, and a certain clears the scenario. I is of one age. Ask you a question. What do you make different here? And what and five and yet better the wages 50 years. Now when they what that and love him, I suppose that he was most to the one into thine heart my feet with the givest me no my feet one say unto thee, many are forgiven. Now notice the first word I forgiveness, but to whom little in verse he's forgiven. Forgive. Missed you. And you and confess all according to 32 grace. Now that is my forgiveness. Now let's go. And me for tender hearted but for forgiveness. Now, that we have all men to respect history one another. There are verses that another. You'll see in several places one another, serving one another, one another. In other words, nonsense. Each one's Bible tells interact. In verse, talked about saints do the work. Whole body, joint Christ that we need. And you'll see. And God, mercy, kindness of mind, Ephesians 4:32, or 1 Ephesians. It's fact. Ephesians chapter, taking somebody along very well. I mean, for past church and church split. I put the pastor. Or whatever. Well, we're good. Well, that really, guess what? They got the pastor. Something you do, get to do, person. We're told this, you want to write this down, said if thy brother, and if he if you offend else, you, they had you, communication, at least into the, people long enough with away. And when they have done wrong, to forgive them. And you didn't know you did. You may find out it was the right way. My third four is for than you. Forgive for exercise, you know, like had done ready. The Lord our give. He's ready of. I'm not going to be, and that's why you as individual work, and you got some peace when some give you. Number to forgive. Forgiving. 1:7 and forget. We have redemption. Look at Ephesians. Whom we have redeemed is a son to forgive you. Cost. Is it going to cost us something? Cost embarrassment of feeling. Oh, how many times have I heard? Oh, I'm saying to find their take. Why do you not be 6? Lost, but lost you something. He does get up. I do anything to get you to come and to be. Speaks to the Holy Spirit. So until God, I've involved not or weak, do everything. But you want of our sins. The Holy Spirit. Well. That God, if I could some of your worries, what should I forgive of their sin? Now, you can always trust me. Done. I am going to God. The fifth is that what has our sins blood against us. That's why you cannot burn. Quickly go over the something a pastory. You know what it is? This recognize bitterness to wrong. Seek God for His word or your sermon. Talk to go over chapter. End here. Chapter 8 on forgiveness. Remember, moreover, yes. Go with that. Verse 21 said, "How often sin against me? 7 times. What is?" We're told in verse 7, likened to which would be his servant. And when he had begun, one was owed him. Now, according to his commentary on in the ancient world, 10,000 times, it's the equivalent of 30 million days' wages. Do the math. The guy owed, now let me show you it this way. If you made $10 an hour, many of you make more than that, but if you made $10 an hour, that would mean that you would have owed $2.4 billion. So this guy, using this here, he says this guy owed him $2.4 billion. How would you like to have that kind of a debt? And somebody comes, okay, oh, you got to pay me. If you don't pay me, you're going to jail. Well, verse 25, for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. Well, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, forgave him of the debt. Boy, that would be nice. You don't have to pay $2.4 billion. Wow, thanks. That's not how I'd respond. I'd be, thank you so much, you know, and this is what he did. He forgave him of that debt. He released him from that debt. But the same servant went out, verse 28, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. If he made $10 an hour, that would be the equivalent of about $8,000. Quite a bit. But he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, "Pay me what thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but cast the guy in prison till he should pay the debt. You see the contradiction here? The guy had been forgiven $2.4 billion, if we were to use today's equivalency. And yet he wouldn't forgive a guy who owed him $8,000. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord what was done. And then the Lord, after that he would called him, said unto him, "O thou," what is he? That's wicked. That's wicked. Give me a break. You were forgiven $2.4 billion. Now you can't even forgive $8,000. Verse 33. "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother and trespasses. Matthew 6:15, doesn't it tell us that if ye forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of yours? Now, question, have you had all your sins forgiven? Jesus shed his blood for you on the cross of Calvary. He left heaven's throne, came to this earth, and paid the full, sufficient payment for your sin. How many of you have accepted Jesus? Okay. He forgave you of the $2.4 billion of debt plus. Now, if you have not been saved, if you are not 100% sure you're going to heaven, it could be that that's why you're having a hard time forgiving others. And I'd love to have you correct that before you leave today. And we're going to give an invitation in a moment. And if you would like to be sure you're saved, we'd love to help you to be saved. But many of you raised your hand and said that you have been forgiven through Christ. And if you have, forgive those who seek forgiveness for you. Forgive them. Now you're ready to forgive, hopefully, but do everything you can to get them to admit their fault and deal with their sin. The thing you cannot do, you cannot allow bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking destroy you. And maybe there's somebody here today, you need to get on the phone and talk to somebody if you're able to do it. And deal with whether they sinned against you or you sinned against them. Forgiving one another. even for Christ's sake, God has forgiven our Father. Lord, we have tried to break down a very broad category that needs to be studied, and we could have preached over this for weeks. And we ask that you would just somehow allow us to deal with those who have offended us and who have hurt us. And we know, Lord, that that doesn't mean we excuse wrongdoing, but it does mean that we can be reconciled with that individual. And I ask, God, that you would just help anybody here that does not know for 100%, or they do not know 100% that if they died, they'd go to heaven. I pray that they would respond to you because you're seeking for them to be saved. And maybe because of pride or maybe because of embarrassment or whatever, they will not bow the knee to you. Lord, I pray that you would just help everyone here to deal with those who have wronged them. Protect them, Lord. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, the pianist is going to start playing, and let's stand to our feet. And we have an altar here in the front. If God is dealing with you, you know there'd be nothing greater than to see you come to Christ. If you've already come to Christ, you know what to do. Deal with the Lord. If the pianist comes, plays, you come.